Auto Press episode 64. Getting
John,
on up there.
John Rahm's final round this week, Olympia Fields.
Yeah, that was quite a show there for the last, I don't know, what'd you say, hour?
Yeah. It didn't look like there was going to be anybody competing with John Rahm at first, and then shit hit the fan. Dustin Johnson just made a bomb.
Yeah, that putt. That was ridiculous.
What putt was more impressive?
Oh, man. I don't know.
See, I think DJ's, because DJ had nothing, or he had everything to lose there, you know? So it's a must-make to keep going. John Rahm's freewheeling it. Not saying it's not impressive, but if that thing went in, it went in, you know? There's still a good chance he's still alive if he doesn't make it.
Yeah, but then I saw a comment that John Rahm acted like. He's like, I mean, if you just get DJ's putt over the hill, there's a decent chance it goes in.
So it's just a funnel
pin? He acted like he wasn't surprised that it went in. But I don't know. I thought the funny stat they showed right before Dustin putted it, that the longest putt he'd made all week was 32 feet, and that putt was 43 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes that. And then the playoff hole, you know, John Rahm from – I think 66 feet.
He started off strong. DJ thought he was just going to run away. BT also started off strong. Not that anybody would have seen it.
I mean, possibly every once in a while.
I just got right off the putting talk and just kept moving along.
When DJ starts playing well like he was at the start of that fourth round, I mean, to me, he just looks unstoppable.
It's video game golf.
I mean, and then he hit a couple poor, I think he bogeyed 8 and then he bogeyed 10, hit a couple poor chip shots. And I mean, it was obviously tough to make birdies out there, but I kind of thought he was going to run away with it.
Me too, for sure. But a lot of people were betting on B. Todd.
He finished 8th.
We had a couple of listeners say that they were betting their house on him. I mean,
yeah, somebody, maybe a little aggressive.
Yeah, somebody texted me on Saturday and asked me if they should throw it all on him to win, and I'm like, I don't know, man. It's tough to go against DJ right now. Like, love B. Todd, but you can't really spot DJ a lot of shots.
Going into Sunday, B. Todd was 3 back, but he was in 7th.
Right.
That's the problem.
People, like, when we talked, there were a lot of people between them, a lot of people up there.
Yeah, and he got within, I think, through 10, when he was through 10 holes, he was 3 back.
When he was at, did he get the even, or did he get the 1 under?
He was even.
Okay.
But then he had a putt on 11 that, of course, they didn't show from, I think, 15 feet that he could have gotten to 1 under.
Yeah, NBC was the worst golf coverage I've ever seen on Sunday.
So I was watching it. I was watching it on my phone. And it was at the pool.
Nice.
But I was watching it on my phone. But there were so many commercials.
Every, like, 3 minutes.
And
playing throughs. And those not count as commercials when they're doing the metrics and whatnot?
Probably not. I mean, it was brutal. I hate to get on the coverage, but
I got on it pretty good.
I just don't get some tweet you put out there.
Yeah.
But I agreed with you. It was,
I mean, we had a great tournament going on with a lot of people in the mix.
Yeah, and we just said B. Todd was in 7th, 3 shots back.
Yeah, and we're just seeing a moment ago shots, and how many times are they going to give us the FedEx Cup standings? And they gave us every storyline that happened.
I didn't understand. And you put out there's like, quit running features.
Yeah.
Everybody's on the golf course. It's Sunday. Mm-hmm. We just want to see golf. I don't care that Joaquin Neiman started in 31st place. He's going to make the
hour long feature before this, a PGA Tour season recap. Rachel got good coverage on there.
That's what I didn't see that part.
They went to his home, big tour. He was doing all the B. Hughes drills in his basement.
Oh, I've seen that clip.
Well, this was a newer one.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't see that one.
I think he like recreated it.
I gotcha.
Got to try and catch up to it. But I don't know. That's my take on NBC. different tournament that week. Also, Olympia Fields showed its teeth.
It really just shows. And if you looked at some of the driving distances for the guys, when you get a firmer golf course, like Vitad on one day, his driving distance was 327 because he was just hitting the fairway and it was rolling forever.
They did show him on Saturday once and he had 105 mile per hour club head speed.
Was that the driver?
I think so, yeah. It went like, but it flew 278.
And then it'll roll like 40 yards. I don't
understand that math.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, who knows?
I don't know what to believe with some of that stuff.
But it just shows they. It doesn't matter. Well, it matters how long they make it. But if it's firm and there's rough, like if you hit it in the rough, you realistically couldn't hit it on the green where it would hold.
No.
You may if you landed it short and it rolls on. But I mean, DJ shot on 18, landed. I think it landed just short or just on the front.
I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, and it was 40 feet.
Right.
And John Rahm.
And he landed in an upslope.
Yeah, and John Rahm had 155 in the playoff, and I mean, he could not hit it at the pin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why a lot of those guys, that's why you see a lot of those scores all together. But that's why you had players kind of all types of players in there.
Right.
Because the ball's going. I mean, Hideki was hitting drives like 380 on some holes.
He's pretty good again.
Yeah, he's always good. He's just
slow. Hit the ball, Hideki. He got rid of the pause at the top of his swing and put it into the rest of his game.
I think all those guys are slow.
Not DJ's not really slow.
I feel like on those some of those putts. I don't like, know. What is he like looking at? What is he looking at on the putts? Of course, then he makes the one last also. It's kind of hard to argue.
You got to forgive him there.
Yeah.
On he was on 17 when Rahm was putting out on 18. So you could see him in the background while Rahm hit his putt because they won't hit to mess each other up, I guess. So Rahm hit his putt. Then you see DJ, as Rahm's walking up, you see him hit his shot. And then the camera goes away like 5 seconds later, and it's DJ hitting his shot in 17. I can't remember if they said a moment ago or if they showed that one live.
I mean, it doesn't
but
matter.
But he's ready to go when he's going to hit it, I feel like. Maybe he's putting slow, but that's probably his
weakest point of the game. I just feel like he really tries to read the greens.
Yeah.
And good. He's doing that something with his arm that's helping
that
him,
is,
too.
That is interesting, holding down that right arm. Guys are always tinkering. I can't believe, speaking of tinkering, watching the PGA Tour live, they'll show some of the stuff beforehand, the guys getting ready in the course, or I don't know, the PGA Championship week, they showed a ton of like range coverage. Those guys grind a lot more than I think people realize. Like on a week-to-week basis, how many guys are on the range just smashing golf balls all day and working on little simple putting drills?
Like after the round?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I think I tweeted out that Tiger Woods had been shown hitting more practice putts on the green during the PGA Championship week than I've hit all year.
At what point on PGA Tour Live are they not going to have Tiger in the featured group?
Hopefully never. Do they want to sell subscriptions?
I mean, do we really care when he's finishing 58th?
Maybe the better golfers don't care, but they're bringing in people that want to watch golf and foot the bill.
My thinking on the PGA Tour Live is it's people that I don't think people are buying that to watch Tiger. I think people are buying that to watch, just to watch good golf.
I bought it the first week that I did when Tiger was in the first one this year.
Well, you're different.
The Memorial, was that the first time he was back?
I think so.
Yeah, I bought it that week.
Well, I subscribed when when they put B-Todd in the featured group somewhere.
So you didn't care any other time except you just want to see B-Todd, obviously not Tiger.
No, I don't want to watch Tiger and Rory be in 60th place.
Right.
That's not that fun to me.
When we recorded last week, Phil was playing the Champions Tour event. He ended up winning it.
Yeah.
He won $414,000 or something. Does he stay out there?
No.
He comes back?
Don't you have a future bet on him to win the U.S. Open?
Yeah.
It's coming up. Like 600 to 1 or something.
Confidence is high.
Can't be that. No, it can't be that high. can't be 600, but
I'm all over the walls tonight. I'm bouncing all over the place.
That's okay.
I'm not boozing, so that makes a
whole 30.
Yeah, I'm doing a whole 30 program.
This podcast will keep you honest.
We'll see.
We'll see. And this is day one.
This podcast and Madeline have to keep me honest. She's doing it too.
We'll see on day 8 next week. Oof.
Man. It's weird coming over here and not cracking open a Bud Light or something.
You were talking about Phil. No, I think Phil will not be on the full time on the Champions Tour. I don't think I shouldn't say that. Maybe this coffee for wellness coming out. Maybe he's going to start selling that on the Champions Tour.
Yeah,
really pushing it.
Pushing it. What's his name? Tim Petrovic.
I tweeted out trying to figure out if anybody knew when it was going to be available, but
nothing.
Just crickets. Nobody. I guess nobody else is into it like me.
Yeah, I'm not. You can have mine if I get it.
We signed you up for it last week.
I got the email.
Yeah.
Letting us know when that happens, when it drops, coffee for wellness. Maybe I'll try it. Can't try it during Whole 30, though.
You can't drink coffee during Whole 30?
Probably not that kind. There's probably a lot of stuff in there that I couldn't have. Yeah. You can have black coffee, I guess. I don't drink coffee. Never tried it.
Yeah, that's right.
Any other takeaways from the Olympia Fields? People playing their way in, playing their way out.
Well, before we get to that, how about they made the comment that Kuchar's wife was caddying for him this week. Interesting. Why do you think that is? He said he had a longtime guy that I can't think of what they said the guy's name was, but he's no longer with Kuchar, and he had his wife on the bag for him this week.
Was it just a one-time thing, or they said this is...
I don't know. That just seems like an odd spot to have your wife fill in.
How far out was he?
He was in the 50s.
Yeah. I don't know. Apparently, Bones is going for, like, an extended period of time with JT.
Well, then he came on the broadcast later. Came on the
broadcast.
Yeah, interesting. But I don't know. They always act like it's so vulnerable around the playoff bubble, or I guess getting to the top 30. But only 3 guys played their way in. Is that right? Maybe
from
4?
From outside of it, who was it? It was Billy Horschel, Mackenzie Hughes. That's the only 2 I can think of off the
top
of
my head. Did Hovland play his way in?
Well, who's in the bottom part of it? We got to look at the net leaderboard. It's already up.
The net event.
I know that, who was it? Somebody playing with Horschel made a double on the last hole.
Corey Connors. 3-putted from like 4 feet.
Did Neiman play his way in?
Yes. Yeah, he was 31st.
So Neiman, Horschel, maybe Champ. How about Lonto Griffin made it? He's had a pretty sneaky good year.
So he won early in the year, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He won the Houston Open.
That's right.
But he's had a good year otherwise. I think he had a good finish at the PGA, or he was up there early. But, I mean, he's 16th starting in the tournament. Is he a rookie?
No, I don't think so. But you're right. That is pretty interesting. He's gotten 0 pub.
No, and he had sunglasses on in the cartoon picture that Golf TV shared.
I couldn't even figure out who some of those people were.
Come on, you couldn't name them all?
No,
I could have done it all. The only one that confused me at first was Kevin Na.
Not even ask who you thought. Who you thought that was. Let's see. So Neiman went from 31 to 18. Mackenzie Hughes went from 36 to 28. And Cameron Smith, 26 to 26. So Horschel started 30 and ended 30.
Just stayed there. Who dropped out?
Hovland went from 24 to 27.
So he's still in.
Kevin Streelman went from 28 to 32.
Oof. Did you see he had some quote?
Adam Long went from 27 to 31. So Streelman and Adam Long moved out.
bunch of Canadians moving out. Connor's long.
No, Connor's was like mid 50s,
but he just
helped.
There.
He just helped Billy Horschel.
Gotcha.
About Leishman with a plus 30 this week.
Kevin Streelman had some quote that he almost retired like a year ago.
I guess maybe that's the stuff for all these guys. Why would Streelman have almost retired 2 years ago?
He won this year.
Did he win?
Yeah.
What did he win?
Something on the West Coast, didn't he?
I think he had some.
No, he didn't win this year.
He had 2 seconds. Only made $2.5 million.
Not bad. Almost retired.
See, almost so.
$1.5 million last year.
Yeah, I'm not sure when he'd. $1.5 in 2018.
There was a quote. Shoot, he's made
$1.3 in 2017. No way.
There was. I can show you.
He's made $1.3 million or better. Wow, 2013, he only made $3 million.
He was going to step away from the game.
Well, I guess he just doesn't like money.
I got to find this. My brother sent it to me.
That just seems silly.
That's what these guys do, man. They just think that they're going to quit.
And then they start playing well?
Yeah. I can't find it.
I mean, look at his money. 2.5, 1.5, 1.5, 1.3,
right.
1.6.
Ridiculous.
He's only made $21 million in his career.
Did you see the video of Jon Rahm swinging from when he was like a little kid?
No.
You got to try and find it. PGA Tour shared it. It was like one of those like phenom videos, you know?
Is it good?
No.
No.
Some of his golf swings, like he must have been like 15 with one of them and he shanked it off the tee. And they're just showing this thing. And he never looked like when Rory was coming through and they just got videos of that, he looked like he was going to be good. Jon Rahm did not look like he was going to be good until he got to college, maybe.
His swing now is still kind of funky.
I think it's pretty solid right now.
How about, and I don't know if they said this a bunch on the broadcast, but the Tour Championship gets you in all four majors.
Right.
And Kapalua this year.
That's new, right?
Well, because
nobody wants to play in it?
No, because of all the guys, the tournament's getting canceled and stuff.
So is that only for this year?
Only for this year. But
all the spring events, will that get you in? Or the fall events, I mean?
So it won't get you in. Well, I don't know how they're doing the U.S. Open this year. It doesn't get you in the Masters in November. But it gets you in April.
Interesting.
Like Daniel Berger. I mean, I've seen all this. Like Daniel Berger's not in the Masters in November.
But he's like third in the FedEx Cup.
He's top 10 in the world, I think, right now.
And he's not in the Masters.
He's not in the Masters.
Because he wasn't previously qualified.
Hovland wasn't in the Masters.
Sofia Popov, who just won the British Open.
I saw this.
She's not in the next major.
And she's only on for
one
year. She's only for 1.5 years. I guess the rest of this year and next year.
How bad is that?
I don't know. That's just the LPGA just stepping all over themselves.
Is that the same thing on tour? Like, let's say...
Yeah, I don't know.
Some guy Monday qualifies for the U.S. Open and wins it. Are they on tour for 5 years?
I think so. Like, I don't
see what having to be a member has to do with it. If you win a tournament, why can't you just claim membership at that point?
Well, and...
You earned it.
Well, and what those guys that win, like Will Gordon or Doc Redman that Monday in and make enough money, they get a special temporary membership where they can play the rest of the year.
But they can't play in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true, unless they win, I think.
Right.
Remember, because Spieth was that way. Spieth had that special temporary membership, but then he won the John Deere, mm-hmm. So then he was good for the rest of it.
Wolf last year,
he had
it, then he won, and got him in the playoffs. Did he win the John Deere too?
No, he won the 3M.
Dylan Fratelli won the John Deere last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, That's some BS about Popov. I'm not happy.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. Why make it? They already talk about how hard it is to get on the LPGA Tour and how closed it is, and then a girl wins the British Open, and they say, yeah. "Well, sorry, you're not a member."
She's exempt for life into the British Open now, but 2 years from now, she might be back on the Symetra Tour.
Do you? So I guess you saw a decent amount of it, the coverage
Sunday.
like, how does Adam Scott not get in trouble for anchoring the putter? He does absolutely nothing different.
No.
Than what he used to do, and nobody cares.
No.
I don't get it. Like, if that's a rule, I mean, it's the same thing on the Champions Tour.
Did you see Adam Scott hitting it lefty?
No.
He was hitting, he took somebody's driver on the range and was hitting it like 285 down the middle.
If he could have made some putts, he...
He was right there.
Every putt he looked like he hit a ton of putts.
So obviously
from anchoring it.
Anchoring isn't helping.
Well, I don't know.
He needs to go back to that lab golf putter. Remember that thing he used at Masters last year?
That thing is like an X for the back.
Yeah, it was like a big red thing.
Yeah.
I got one coming on Friday.
Why?
Just want to try it out. I think it could change my game.
You're already a good putter.
I'm going to be a better one now. Better setup.
Well, I think Adam Scott, if we're going to enforce rules of golf.
Him and Stuart Hagestad?
Yeah, 100%.
Rules of golf. What happened to John Rahm?
He just picked up. He got a penalty.
Right, but he just walked on the green.
Yeah, and just picked up his ball.
How do you do that?
I don't know. And he was playing not very good at the time. I mean, he said he made a 5 or 6 footer for like double there on that hole maybe for bogey after picking up his ball. Like, that's so odd.
He just walked right up on the green and just picked it up and threw it to his caddy, and I was like, whoops.
But the funny thing was that he stood, like, as soon as he did it.
Yeah.
You could see he was like, uh-oh. Like, what did I just do?
I've just never seen a tour pro do that. I haven't seen junior golfers do that, college golfers.
Just put it back and...
I mean, I'll mark mine in a casual round just with my putter. Put it next to it, pick it up real quick, clean it, you know? But, and he uses a poker chip.
Auto press.
Yeah. So, he's got to be one of the first players in the world to ever get, like, to the top of the game using a poker chip.
I would think you're probably right.
It's probably keeping him away from winning a major.
Yeah.
We'll see soon. That could be the hacks, the poker chip hacks on a major.
I mean, he has won at... Did he win Memorial? Yeah, he won Memorial in there. I mean, two of the firmest, fastest setups, which you'd think would be like winged foot. At least what Wingfoot's going to try.
The dude is good.
Yeah, he's really good.
What about, what else we got? Anything else on Olympia Fields?
As much drama as there was a ton of drama on Mackenzie Hughes, 5-6 footer on 18.
Actually, he won the tournament. It was great. Yeah. That's like watching the old coverage of Q School and the guys make it into the tournament, but they're not contending.
But it's funny how those guys... I mean, does he know exactly?
Yeah.
Does he know exactly, like...
They're showing the projected stuff, just like...
Yeah, that's true, I guess, on the big scoreboards.
Yeah, they've still got the scoreboards. I mean, he had to have known, because he knew immediately what it did.
Was he already in the Masters or no?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. For this year?
Yeah.
For the November one?
I don't remember when he...
He won at Sea Island, didn't he?
But that was...
That was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He was contending... He played with Dom the first two rounds of that. I don't know if he's contending.
Dom. You got in a round with Dom?
Played with Dom the other day. He's back in Auburn. He's back in Napa next week, so he's going to be in that tournament. Todd taking that week off?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because then it's U.S. Open, right?
Right.
Yeah, we got the U.S. Open in...
Two weeks.
2 weeks?
Mm-hmm. At Winged Foot.
Have you ever played Winged Foot?
No, I've been down there. I watched the U.S. Amateur was there back in like 04 or 05, maybe.
How far is it from?
Shoot, 5-6 hours. It's basically
where is
Winged Foot? Right near New York City.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
That whole area. So I've been to it. It's like Oak Hill. That's kind of what it looks like. Oak Hill's better.
Look at Mackenzie Hughes' year. I mean, you wouldn't think this would get you, but second at the Honda, third at the Travelers, sixth at Memorial, 13th at Northern Trust, and 10th at the BMW.
Yeah, he's had some good finishes lately.
I guess the 13th and the 10th get you a ton of points.
Keeps you going in the playoffs. Playoffs at the playoffs. Now we go to a net event.
But, I mean, made 11 cuts out of 21 events.
Oh, before we talk about the net event, they have a Corn Ferry event this week. It's the first one of the new season. They had the Tour Championship last week.
So aren't they combining the years?
They're combining. But they had Monday qualifiers, and some guy Monday qualified who was ranked, when he was an amateur, he was ranked 803rd in the world as an amateur and never won a college event. I want your take on what convinces these guys to turn pro when there's over 800 amateur golfers that are better than you. That leaves out even the mini tour guys that were higher ranked probably last year as an amateur anyway.
I think a lot of it with golf is that there's no barrier to entry.
Right.
If you've got people that'll back you and give you $1,000, you sign up and play and you're a pro. Chase your
dream. Could you imagine if that was like football? Like if you're playing for South Dakota State and you're the 930th ranked defensive end in the country.
Yeah.
Like, I think I make the NFL this year. I'm gonna go to the combine again. They should open it up more.
I mean, that's all it is that there's just no...
There's no stop. I mean, if anybody wants to write a check, they can do it.
Yeah, if I went and called the Swing Thought Tour and was like, how do I sign up? Hey, pay your $800 and
so they just you're got a pro. They've got a buck and a dream. It's like the World Series of Poker.
Yeah. I think that's why guys do it.
No, the buck and a dream is the New York State Lottery.
Oh.
I think.
A buck and a dream?
Yeah. If you got a buck and a dream.
Well, you shout out, better have $1,000 and a dream for the mini tour golf, but that's why guys do it.
Mm-hmm. Mini tour golf, Gavin Hall's leading an event this week on the minor league tour.
And the thing is with golf, and you see it with some guys that I guess you grow up playing with or that there are a lot of people at golf that don't realize how good the mini tour guys and the Corn Ferry guys. I mean, those guys are so good. And
guys, they're still not good enough.
Yeah. But there's so many guys that think they can break 70 at their home course on a Saturday morning and think they can go compete with those guys.
Right.
It's not even
on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and it's just not close. I'm not trying to take a shot at anybody that I know, but I'm just saying a lot of those guys have, like you see it, tournament conditions. I mean, you probably see it with college golfers.
Yeah.
They're college golfers all the time that can shoot 68 at home course, and then you get in a tournament, and you're like, oh, you got tougher pins. You got to put everything out.
Mm-hmm.
All those three-footers that you like rake back, you may miss one every once in a while.
It's 1 foot, and they count no matter what.
Right. You may miss some of those in playing a tournament.
Lifting and placing the fairways half the time.
I mean, it's just...
But it is interesting seeing that, though, like, at some point, the people you're asking money from, how do you give them a resume? Like, yeah.
Did pretty well. 74.
My scoring average was 72.3 and never won.
72.3 in Monday qualifiers.
I was third alternate for the 2017 U.S. Amateur. Like, but I'm right there, a couple rounds away. Keep my dream alive.
But they're guys that have more money than they know what to do with that will give some of these guys money, and they're like, well, yeah, I'm sponsoring a golfer.
Right.
Long way down to 813th ranked amateur.
I mean, that's a ways.
But then you get somebody, I mean, those rankings are probably, the guys at the top are good, but then you have that kid from,
was it SMU?
Yeah, Ollie Osborne. He was like 460, and you watch him play that Strafaki in the USAM, I'll take that Ollie Osborne swinging it like that and hitting it like that against a lot of people.
Just not Strafaci. Strafaci.
It's not.
He said Strafaki.
Strafaki, Strafaci. Frank Jr.
It's pronouncing names. What about Akshay Bhatia in mini tour talk?
What did he do?
You didn't. So they've created this PGA Tour IQ series.
And yeah.
They're actually playing at the AU club right now, the Auburn University club.
Yeah.
He's the leader.
Right now?
Yeah, he shot 67 today. Or no, 7 under 65 today. You got to go to the Latin America tour. That's where the leaderboard is.
You got to give him some props for.
I mean, he got another sponsor.
Oh, is that? That was my next question. Yeah. So how did he get in?
So it's for people that have like status on Latin America or Canada or China, because they've got nowhere to go right now. right?
Yeah.
So they've created this little IQ series. They had a couple. Bryson Denbrough won the first couple. Over, they're actually in Atlanta. They're at Golf Club of Georgia National on.
No, he's not leading anymore.
He's not leading.
Bryson Denbrough came in with 63.
Two-time winner.
Later in the day.
Little 63.
So if they play good in this, do they get on Corn Ferry?
I don't know what they... There's something called like the Race to Brazil. I don't understand
Race to Bahamas, I saw.
Maybe that's what... I don't know. But I haven't quite figured it out.
Man.
Trace Crowe, Auburn player.
Well... I guess my, I don't know if it's still held up, but for a while I had the tournament course record at the AU club.
Of what?
64.
Looks like it's gone.
Like I said, I don't know if it was still there.
Did you shoot that in the Billy Hitchcock?
Billy Hitchcock.
It had to have been tied or something, because they've had so many Q schools.
Yeah.
No, not knocking you. That's a great score. The course is hard.
So the Race to the Bahamas for the Race local Bahamas IQ series. I don't know. Like you said, I don't know what they do.
Yeah, and they're playing on a Tuesday. Tuesday night golf ended tonight. I couldn't play. We had COVID stuff.
You had COVID stuff. I don't even want to ask.
Protocols change every day. So whatever. But well, Akshay Bhatia, I mean, we got to give him some credit there with the 65. It's not a pitching putt.
No, it's not.
And I played it last week. I mean, it's in good shape. Greens are fast and firm. I don't know if it's... It probably rained through the weekend a little bit.
So how does he... I just don't understand how the same people get sponsor invites. Like, how does Akshay Bhatia still get sponsor invites?
You have a good agent?
I guess.
Somebody that's owed a few favors?
Man, two unders in 48th place. Good luck.
Andy Ogletree's playing. Yeah, they're shooting good scores there. Jacob Solomon, I played with him last week, 9 holes. Got him built up. He got in as an alternate. Shot 67 today, 5 under. But it's a cool little event. No fans can go. That's kind of disappointing. I think they're riding in carts too.
Cal Mueller, that's who me and Brendan played with.
That's your guy.
Did not have a good day.
No.
76. Anyway, so speaking of playing with Dom, you put a picture up on Instagram.
Yeah, I got no answers for that.
His shorts were like...
They weren't shorts. It was a bathing suit. Pretty embarrassing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was a bathing suit.
Yeah, untucked shirt, bathing suit. I don't know what kind of rules he's playing by. I mean, clearly not following dress codes. It's Dom's world.
When you put that up, I looked at it. I think I commented.
You did, yeah.
It's like, can we talk about those shorts?
Yeah, yeah. I kicked a kid off of qualifying once for wearing a bathing suit. I got people who can attest to this.
Well,
he had worn them before, and I said, you can't wear a cloud bathing suit to the golf course.
A cloud bathing suit?
The same one like Dom had on, with clouds on them.
Dom's had clouds on it.
Something like that. They were like white and blue.
I mean, they were what I... You couldn't see much of them. I could just see the string.
The string was hanging out.
Yeah, it wasn't even tied.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, that's terrible.
Oh, well.
Gotta respect the game.
Do you? I don't know. I don't know what to think anymore. I battle back and forth. If you want to grow the game, maybe we get rid of a dress code. Let people wear whatever.
You got to have some sort of dress code.
Shoot, you go to Chattahoochee any day of the week, the kids are wearing t-shirts and gym shorts.
We're talking about Chattahoochee.
AU Club's not that far off.
He's a professional golfer with PGA Tour status. He should
about Jordan Spieth, Smiley Kaufman when they go to the Bahamas and don't wear shirts?
They're in the Bahamas.
Why is that different than the Auburn,
Alabama? That thing died out, didn't it?
Well, Smiley Kaufman got off the tour pretty quick.
Well, who was that?
Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, and Smiley.
Justin Thomas may be the only one that's won since then. No, Ricky won the Phoenix Players Open.
And the Players, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know if that was before or after Baker's Bay.
All right. On to the Net Championship.
Yeah.
Final round of the playoffs, Dustin Johnson.
I'm going to say that I don't mind the format this week.
At least you get a definite winner.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I like. There's none of that where, like, Xander Schauffele can win the tournament, but somebody else wins a FedEx Cup.
I mean, think about it. They changed it the year after your boy won and Justin Rose won the FedEx Cup. 2018. They just said they'd had enough because they wanted Tiger to win everything.
Can you get lines on it? Like, how do they do lines? Is it based off the net thing, or do they go back and recalculate what somebody might shoot?
So they got odds for basically all the winners, top fives. I guess this is just based off the... I mean, Dustin Johnson for top five is minus 500. I don't think you can quite take that one. But...
I mean, he's got a 7-shot lead on top 10.
Yeah, top 10, he's minus 2,800 for the top 10. He's
guaranteed in the top 10. I mean, there's only 30 people.
Yeah.
He'd have to not show up.
So how about that, though? You can get Brendan at 2-1 to finish in the top 10.
That's pretty good.
And he's starting 11th.
So I had asked you the other day, is he staying in Atlanta or is he commuting?
I don't know.
You didn't follow up on that for me? No. You know how I get? Like, I've schemed up this whole idea that he's going to take a helicopter down there.
I definitely don't think it's any of that. We saw that B. Hughes caddied for him today in the practice round, and I almost commented. B. Hughes said it's too hot for him. I'm like, you picked literally probably the hottest day of the year.
And wore pants.
Oh, did he wear pants? Yeah. Oh, well, that's his own fault.
Do the teachers have to wear pants if they go out there?
I don't think so.
He was wearing, like, khakis.
I mean, caddies don't have to wear pants.
Right. Why would he? I don't know. He was carrying the bag for a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know.
We should go down there and, like, get a stepladder behind... you can put it on the road there behind 14.
There are definitely plenty of people that have done that lately. Doing it. I mean, how about how loud it was when Dustin Johnson made that putt on... Sunday.
Yeah, people are.
I mean, there were a lot of people there.
Good for them.
But yeah, so you got to win outright, DJ, plus 120. Man. Props. Will there be a playoff?
That would be cool. Playoff for $15 million.
I wonder if they have. Oh, they do have Top American. They don't have a ton of. I mean, Top Rest of the World, Top American. So they're no. There are no player matchups unless they put these out. They may come out with some later in the week. But you're right. I don't know if they'd be on the gross or the net.
Right.
This is how silly is that comment? Gross or the net. Brendan
Todd raked it in this year.
Yeah.
He made what did he make from the Wyndham Rewards? 500?
550.
550. If he finishes top 10 here, he gets like a million guaranteed.
I think I saw 10th was maybe 830. Or $8.95.
And that's without the payout for this. Like, last for this is like $250 probably. Just for the Tour Championship.
Yeah.
Man.
I think last is $395. Because I've seen people say, asking Leishman what he's spent his $395 on. Just killing Leishman from
Leishman
one
got,
week.
Leishman's had a bad...
But that's what happens in some of those. Those guys, he has a bad first round.
Doesn't play.
He's got to stick around for three more days.
He doesn't have to.
Well, that's true.
All you have to do is hit your first tee shot, I think, and then you can collect that last place check.
He shot 80 and was 10 over after one day, and
poor guy.
He brought it home, shot 75 on or 73 on Sunday.
No, I'm with you. I like this format. I think that it's nice that you don't have to do any guessing work. There's no constant updates of. If he makes birdie here, he gets 12 points, while Billy Horschel can make a bogey to get, you know what I mean? That was always confusing.
So, whatever they finish in this tournament, that's what they finish in the FedEx Cup.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
So, if Brendan finishes 15th, then he's 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I was just trying to figure out one weighted just where the winner was first. 30th,
that would stink. He's got a 7-shot lead on that, though. I think that's how it works. Don't quote me on that. Now that I think about it, that doesn't make sense. That wouldn't be fair.
I don't know if it's just the win or win, and it just goes in that order.
I don't know. It's a good question. I still do wish that they would make this match play.
32 guys. Mm-hmm. Play a couple rounds for stroke play and then go to match play.
No, don't even do stroke play. Just
straight to it.
Mark Leishman versus Dustin Johnson.
That would be wild.
Yeah.
And you'd have that last match for $15 million.
Right. Be great.
Yeah.
But
the only issue is you have is if Dustin Johnson finishes first, second, and then he finishes second in this thing, say, and he doesn't win the FedEx Cup.
Why is that an issue?
You just think if it's the playoffs and he goes 1-2-2.
I mean, if you win the first two playoff games of a NFL Super Bowl playoff run,
you're just playing against one other team. This one you're playing against 125 and 70 and now 30 guys.
I don't know. Play better.
Yeah, that solves everything.
Go do your work this week, DJ. I think he gets it done.
I'd be surprised if he doesn't. Justin Thomas struggled a little bit for him. Webb didn't play last week. Colin Morikawa struggled.
Yeah, Webb didn't play. He dyed his beard.
Dyed his beard for the golf TV.
If you guys haven't seen that yet, you got to look up the golf TV photo.
Character sketch or whatever.
It was pretty funny looking through it all. My Lanto Griffin, I think, was my favorite. Where he was wearing these like yellow shades. They were just...
DeChambeau has tailed off a little bit. Rory's got other things on his mind. His wife's about to have a kid.
Building a house in Rochester.
Rory is?
Yeah.
Why?
She's from there.
Really?
Yeah. So she's from Irondequoit, which is, I don't know, northeast side of Rochester.
So they live in Florida, though?
Yeah, but they're building a house on the lake in Rochester, and he's got a membership at Oak Hill now.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Any day he's having a baby.
Didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll be in Rochester quite a bit.
He's supposed to play...
through, like, the holidays.
He's paired with Brendan on Friday.
Featured group. There you go. Yeah, Friday. It's a Friday to Monday event.
BT and Rory are going to be big buds. This is the third week in a row they've been paired together.
That's pretty cool. Should we play some calls?
100%.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
I wish people could see the video that just played on that.
I think this is my new favorite part of the show.
It's definitely brought a different perspective.
Yeah, and this week we've got 6 calls.
Home, let's go.
So we're just going to go down the list. We might play one or two out of order.
That's okay.
Coming through hot, though, for the third week in a row, we got David Luttrell.
This is David. We need a new intro to the AutoPress call-in because Lexi cheating is last week. Second off, how about DJ draining, 33 feet to get into a playoff? And then Rom draining a 62-footer to get into a playoff. I mean, 2 great putts or 2 great misreads, however you want to read it. I mean, let's be honest. Whenever you have a 66-footer and a 33-footer, you're just trying to get it within a couple feet of the hole, tap in par, whatever it is. But DJ trying to make it to a playoff, made it to a playoff, and then Rom laying in a long birdie putt to win it. So what do we take? Does Rom win the FedEx Cup, or does he come in close second? What happens there? He's playing some great golf coming into it. And second thing is B-Todd playing great on Sunday, but does he have what it takes to win the FedEx Cup? I want to hear the hot takes. I want to hear it from B-Todd. I want to hear it from you guys. Let's go. Y'all be good.
Well, I mean, we touched on most of that stuff, I think, earlier. I don't know where to really go.
Yeah. You said you thought, you just said you thought Dustin Johnson gets it done.
I think DJ wins it. I agree. The putts were,
Outrageous.
Outrageous. Definitely things that you don't plan on making.
I wouldn't call them misreads.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good reads there, Latrell. Come on.
Just because you make a 43-footer means you read it just right.
And Latrell, I hope that you found some shelter and your wife let you back in the house. B-Todd did his best this weekend, but man, course got tough.
I don't know. And talking about B-Todd winning the FedEx Cup, I think coming from seven behind DJ, it's going to be pretty difficult.
It's going to be pretty tough. I've actually listened to this next call, and it's going to give us kind of some topic to talk about that with. So we're going to play that real quick. But Latrell, thanks again, as always. Enjoy the banter.
This is Joe in Haversham County. So, JP, question for you. So they're starting the Tour Championship. Obviously, they went last year to the leader, starting with a 2-shot lead over, or 10-shot lead over some of the field, 2-shot lead over the rest of the field. How far ahead would you have to start to feel comfortable that you could win the tournament? I'll hang up and listen.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
At East Lake.
At East Lake against this field.
So last year, Rory, I think he started at 4 and he finished 18 under. So the winning score net was 18 under.
Was 18.
So you've got to think, what are you going to shoot at East Lake?
Par 70?
Yes.
I'm going to shoot probably, I've been practicing, I guess, leading up to this. I'm probably going to shoot like 40 to 44 over par.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, in those conditions, yeah. Where if you hit it in the rough,
I could play smart and get around at 40.
You could shoot 80.
I think I could shoot 80, kind of keeping it in front of me.
So you're 40 over.
So I'm 40 over.
So you need
58 shots. Man, I suck.
You need to start at 58 under.
What about you?
I don't know.
You could squeeze around.
I would think I could shoot a good round 75. Of maybe 74 or 5.
Yeah.
But, as long as they play that course and how they have the rough.
Right.
I mean, if you hit it not in the fairway, you're not going to get to the green.
No.
So, I mean, I think if I shot 475s, that'd be a really good playing, and that'd be 20 over par.
Yeah. So you'd have to give them 38.
So I'd have to be 38 under to start and hope that nobody.
No, not 38 under. You'd have to be.
Yeah. And then I'd shoot. Well, if I started 38 under and I'm thinking the winning score is going to be 18.
So you're shooting 75. I got you.
So basically between 40 and 60 under is where we need to start to have a chance to think we have a realistic chance to
maybe do it.
And that may not even be realistic, to be honest.
No. No.
I may shoot 80 every day and you may shoot 90 every day. Right. I mean, I don't know.
Who knows? But good question there.
I may take my chances at 50 under.
50 under?
If I start at 50 and DJ starts at 10...
If somebody told you that you could pay $10,000 to start at 50 under par, and you get your only prize is the winning prize, you don't get any of the other ones.
Yeah, I'd probably try it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a long way back down to 18 under.
You got to think that, like, and you get 2 weeks to practice. Let's say
2 weeks. I'd take my chances if I started at 50 under. If I had a 40-shot lead over Dustin Johnson.
All right.
That's a great hypothetical question.
It's good to ponder.
Did Bryson just quit playing golf or does he not hit it far anymore? And Ryan Palmer is 43 years old, the oldest player in the field by 7 years. Please discuss.
That's from my friend Eric Henson.
I did see that stat on Ryan Palmer. I mean, B. Todd's 35, so he's maybe the second oldest player in the field.
DJ's older than that.
Yeah, sorry. DJ is a year younger than me, so DJ is 36.
Go to the leaderboard. How old's Leishman? So it's got 43. Horschel's up there.
Horschel's a year younger than me. 2 years younger than me.
Dang. Dang, everybody's so young. I wonder what the average age is. How old's Kisner?
Kisner is 1 year younger than me.
Older than B-Todd?
Yes. There's a Kisner's in between me and...
Yeah. And Bryson DeChambeau, yeah. Is the experiment over?
Yeah, Kisner's 36. What did Bryson finish last week?
I don't know.
he just quit playing golf.
I guess he might have quit.
I mean, I'm glad. Because you had all these people saying, you know, has he changed golf? Has he done this? He played great coming straight out of the...
Well, he was playing courses that weren't set up like majors.
He played good at the PGA.
Yeah, he did. Okay. Take that back.
First cut, 30th.
Well, even going back here a little bit.
Oh, I mean, this is when he came back.
From COVID. It started here. 38, 6, 1st.
But look at this run he was on. 5th, 2nd, 4th, 3rd, 8th, 6th, 1st.
I think he's got too much in his head. Too many distractions with all his rules violations he's and probably, yelling at people.
He's probably getting tired.
Yeah, he has played a lot, huh?
He's played a ton. He's played every week.
I wish he would quit. Here's another one.
JP. Mario. Got a little out-of-the-box question here, bud. Best overall athlete on the tour. Doesn't have to be currently that is in this little final go here. Just overall on the tour, got to be able to play hockey, basketball, baseball, and obviously he can already golf. Wondering what you're saying.
That's Mario. He's one of our athletic trainers at Piedmont. Great dude from Pittsburgh area, Pennsylvania. What's your take on that? Best athlete on tour?
I don't know. They used to have that commercial where Dustin Johnson was like doing a 360 windmill on the basketball court.
But I mean, he threw out that they have to play hockey. And
he did throw that out. I need to look at some of these players because...
I mean, I've got one who's going to be on the tour next year.
Who?
Taylor Pendrith.
What did he do?
He played everything growing up. Baseball, basketball, I mean, football, hockey. He was playing high-level hockey up in Canada. So I got to think he's up there.
Yeah. I'm trying to run through some of these guys.
I mean, if it's going to be a hockey player, you got to think Canadians.
I mean, you can just look at some of
Gary
these guys.
Woodland. He played college basketball, didn't he?
Yeah. Gary Woodland's a good one. A lot of these guys, though, probably played nothing but golf ever.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't take a ton to be the most athletic guy.
But Dustin Johnson's probably the most athletic person on the PGA.
But I don't know if he's like good at other sports.
He's
like
good at basketball.
Just you can dunk a basketball doesn't mean you're good.
I think he's pretty good at other sports.
I mean, Gary Woodland, we know he played college basketball.
Right. Ricky Fowler was like a rock
not a
star
sport.
Motorcycle racing.
Yeah, that's not a sport. That's not a sport.
All right. Keegan Bradley, I think he played some other sports.
He's too fidgety.
Yeah.
Speaking of fidgety, how about Billy Horschel getting into his putts?
I can't watch it.
Just
ordered a spaceship putter, and you want me to pay attention to that?
Doesn't it just make you nervous?
But Taylor Pendrith, I think, will be...
Scott Stallings?
Taylor Pendrith will be the best athlete on tour.
Shane Lowry?
Next year. We got a first-time caller here.
Hey, guys, first-time listener this week, also first-time caller.
This is Lye Denny, Millbrook, Alabama.
Okay.
JP, this is Lye Denny. Enjoyed hanging out with you at the Willow Point four ball. Would love to get your take on how they handled the carts for the first 2 days. I really just don't understand the thought process for having partners in a four ball, but you can't ride in the cart together. So that means I drive one hole, a partner drives one hole, he puts his sweaty hands all over the steering wheel. After I put my sweaty hands all over the steering wheel, I just don't understand. I'm sure it's a USGA policy somewhere down the line, what they're doing it for. It's surely not common sense I think it's just all about optics, and I'm really about sick of doing the optics for whoever we're supposed to be doing the optics for. But I had a great time at Willow Point, enjoyed hanging out. We managed to behave in the 19th hole and not get scolded by my dad sitting with his kids for too much cussing and too much debauchery. But had a great time there. Big Hurt and I will be heading down to the state four ball in Lakewood. I'll be sure to send you some autopress moments from the state four ball. Guys, enjoy the show. Enjoy the calling out Lexi. Always calling out DeChambeau. I'll continue to listen, guys. Have a great week.
Bye. I think Denny and I would be friends.
Lied Denny is the man.
Oh.
It's Lied.
Yeah. Lied.
Lied Denny.
His first name's Lied.
First name's Lied.
Okay, well, me and Lied would be friends.
Lied played baseball at Huntington.
So, hold on. So, give us... We have not mentioned the four ball.
So, I was going to save it for this call.
I got you.
Talk about the four ball a bit because I knew it was coming up. But the protocol that Alabama Golf Association has in place is single rider carts. They don't have the little things in front of them like Chattahoochee.
And then do nothing anyway.
Do nothing anyway. And then it became cart path only because it rained. So fairways at Willow Point are pretty wide. So there was like no partner interaction. In a four ball, that's weird. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like I'd tee off and my partner kind of enjoyed walking, I guess. He just kind of took off. We did play for it, and I think that if we had have kept that going, he might not have ridden too much of that, whatever. He made a bunch of birdies the second day. But it was weird, just like the first hole of the tournament, I decided to walk after teeing off, and Cody's cart was like 80 yards away up in the thing. Going into it, I thought we'd just be able to drive right up to the ball, talk about it a little bit, something like that. It comes down from the Alabama governor, who nobody likes right now. It's that old lady.
K.I.V.
Yeah. So she said, yeah, you can play golf, but you have to have single rider golf carts. And then we played a practice round for the same tournament. They let us ride together in that. So it was only for tournaments.
And you stayed at Cody's house?
Stayed at Cody's house, rode with Cody to the golf course.
But you couldn't be in the golf cart
then,
together.
Then if there was a rain delay, you could ride into the cart with each other. And then like go out to the holes together.
So yeah. were they enforcing this?
We didn't mess with it.
Did anybody that you see mess with it?
The protocol was you'd get a warning, then the second time you get a penalty shot.
So you could have tried it and gotten a warning.
Yeah, we started joking like the last few holes, both of our teams were kind of on the cut line. I think going to the last two holes where we needed a birdie eagle to do it. So we were like, yeah, might as well get that warning now. So we rode the last two holes.
Nobody said anything?
No. No. We got yelled at for slow play at one point.
Really? Your group?
Yeah. And the group in front of us.
Like, come on.
The group in front of us we had just waited for in the previous hole. It's just people get all excited.
But how good is Willow Point?
Willow Point is awesome, I was going to say. I mean, it's tough because Shoal Creek, I think, is awesome too.
Yeah,
I don't know what's a better experience at this point. Being on the lake at Willow Point is fantastic. Fairways are the best I've ever played.
Were they? They're not Zoysia, are they?
If they're not, they're just fantastic. The ball's teed up.
Yeah, I can't remember if they're Zoysia. I don't think they're Zoysia.
I don't think they are. I saw Claxto out there.
They're good, though.
Claxto was just playing there on Thursday.
Said he shot a smooth 63.
Yeah. So, Willow Point is awesome, though. And those holes on the water when you're going into the wind, they got to be some of the hardest holes in Alabama.
10 through 14.
10 through 14 asks a lot.
Yeah.
What'd you call it? Amen Corner?
You were on like 12, and I said, he's just rounding into Amen Corner at Willow Point.
We did well on those. We parred.
Somebody birdied 13.
Cody knocked it in there tight. It was a back right pin.
How far did you play 13 from?
We played the blue tees, so it was 186 was that number that day.
Nice.
Yeah, he knocked
it. It's a real golf hole.
He knocked it to 3 feet.
Did he hit first or second?
He hit first. I had the wrong club, so I'm back. I was hitting first most of the time. And then he just stood up there and just...
So did you even hit?
Yeah. Yeah. I salvaged a par.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. But it was a great time.
And you saw Yogi?
Saw Yogi. I got auto-pressed twice by Yogi. once for, and Yogi's the inventor of the auto press.
But you've got that shirt on that he auto pressed you right for. Now.
Yeah, I've done laundry. So I got auto pressed for wearing my college shirt. He said, I don't wear my bank shirt to play golf. Whatever. And then I was wearing my Springer Mountain trucker hat the next day.
He auto pressed the Springer Mountain trucker hat.
He said, no trucker hats.
Man.
Yeah.
They're tough over there in Alex City on your outfit.
They are.
Like Landon, that's on the text chain with Cal's Locks. He talks about he gets so nervous about what he wears.
Yeah.
He thinks about it for weeks.
I know. I mean, they're fancy people there. You gotta be on your, what is it, mind your P's and Q's?
Yeah.
But they did create a new 19th hole in the bottom of the locker room.
So
they got a whole bar area right there.
Y'all could go in there?
Yeah. During the rain delay. And then I don't know if we were supposed to be there afterwards, but.
Nobody got on you?
No.
But you couldn't ride in a car together?
Couldn't ride in a car together.
But you could go to the 19th hole and.
Yeah. And then go leave together. Very well run tournament, Matt. Matt the pro did a great job.
So. Well, I'm with you, Lyde. It's all those optics, a bunch of
optics
bullshit.
Yep,
tired of them.
And Lyde's all in. He loved the podcast. I gave him my koozie. So, good luck to them in the state four ball.
There'll be lots of auto presses there.
There were nobody. Nobody was wearing the same shirt.
No teams.
Nope.
Wow.
Didn't see it.
People are learning.
Yeah. I mean, there were some other things that I noticed, but
I'm proud of them.
There was none of that. And this is our final call of the night. Longer one, so bear with us here. I told you 2 minutes, but it's 2 minutes and 52 seconds. Stuart's looking at this funny.
Oh,
this is Ponzi Dan.
Hello, friends. Ponzi Pool Dan calling. First order of business, as always, we need to check in on the Ponzi Pool itself. And whoa, look at it there. Once again, Ponzi Dan leads Stuart. And with an added twist, Lee Rogers has certified this week's results. The gold standard, a Lee Rogers certification. I can't say that we're surprised that we saw this coming based upon my disclosures last week. A quick hat tip to Stuart for calling that the event would be moved to Sherwood. I think that's the Zozo event, preserving some spots on the PGA Tour calendar. Would love to know Stewart's inside scoop there, how he got that. The Golf TV illustration that was shared tonight on your Twitter is just hard to describe. I can't imagine that resources were actually dedicated to pay somebody to put that piece of shit together. What I would love is for you guys to keep that and maybe a year, you know, down the road, a couple years down the road, pull that up and see if we can name even half the people on it. It really is priceless. One of the guys in that little illustration is Rory. And, of course, I am in the tank for Rory. Love the guy. But, unfortunately, I had a little bit of a issue this week. Apparently, he did a great job of keeping it hidden that his wife is pregnant and she's due very soon. But now he's playing the Phil Mickelson Father of the Year card. With the, hey, I'll skip it, I'll go. Look, play or don't play. But don't give me this, hey, as soon as I hear she's in labor, I'm leaving. If it's that important, just make sure you're there. Because guess what? If she goes into labor and you try to get back in time, you might miss it. So just go ahead and do it one way or the other. But don't give me this shit about how I'm going to play, but then I'm going to leave, whatever. And then lastly, we have the fact that Stuart was wondering when exactly this whole PGA pool will actually wrap up. And this is where I kind of refer you back to the first rule of Ponzi schemes is what is the best for the person running the Ponzi scheme? So in this case, that translates to what's good for Ponzi Dan? Am I leading in the pool? No. Let's keep it going a little longer. Am I doing well? Maybe we'll shut it down. Am I starting to move backward in the standings? We're really going to have to shut it down. So just kind of look at where I am in the standings, and you can be able to figure out very easily, are we going to have another week or not? Let's just leave it at that, and you guys have a great week.
So there's no end in sight for the Ponzi pool?
No. He sent out an email back in COVID saying that it was going to go through a certain number of events. He's just being a bully, but there was something about it.
That's okay. I don't think I'm going to win.
No, but Lee Rogers is up there.
Yeah.
Lee Rogers probably wants it to end pretty soon.
Well, I have to, when Ponzi Dan decides to start the one for next year, which may be March. I mean, it's just maybe mid-February. We never really know when it's coming out.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, those events didn't count.
No.
Like, no reason to start at the Sony when kind of the year kicks off for a lot of guys.
Yeah, why would you do that? Not like we had Christmas to figure out who could be on our team or anything.
And also, the first rule when Ponzi Dan's asking for sources is you never give up your sources.
Wow.
Can't talk about the Sherwood Country Club.
I'm just surprised that anybody would ask who a source is at this point. I mean, there's probably one person.
Oh, yeah. I will say, when they talked about Rory's wife being pregnant, I didn't know that that was a secret.
Oh, you knew?
Yeah.
Well, your inside source.
I'd heard.
From your source.
From my source.
I had no clue.
Really?
That was my first time hearing about it.
I had heard. I can't remember where I heard that, but.
Yeah, no, I heard it on the coverage. That was the first time.
My source told me maybe a month ago.
Probably because he hadn't.
Maybe more than that.
Yeah. Must have been more than that. Must have been within the past 4 or 5 months. You kept it a secret.
Were you told to?
No.
I didn't know it was a secret.
Yeah. I didn't hear his comments about skipping the tournament.
But, I mean, that's not good information to share. Like,
right.
Not like anybody's going to care. Like, ooh.
Wouldn't it be better for his family if he wins the FedEx Cup?
Yeah. If we're talking $15 million. Right.
You don't walk off the course on Saturday with the lead.
There was a certain listener that may have told me that they felt the birth of their kid was overrated. I said, "Wow, that's a little aggressive take there." Yeah,
that's interesting.
That was a comment from a listener. I will definitely not name that listener.
Not that name. Has he called in?
I'm not going to say.
Oh, man.
But somebody told me that. They're like, I mean, I kind of felt that. I feel that overrated.
I feel like I've got a good guess on who it is.
Well, don't. You can just keep it all in suspense. We'll never name them.
Those were fun call-ins again. Good things to ponder.
Latrell. Yeah, those are good. I think my favorite was Joe that wanted to know the.
Where we would have to start in the net championship.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah. Very good. He was excited about it. He was asking today.
That's definitely my favorite. I had not heard that.
Nice. Good job, Joe.
Yeah. Joe is caller of the week.
Caller of the week.
Not Ponzi Dan with all this three. Ponzi Dan, we appreciate you calling in, but we can't have 3-minute voicemails.
Oh, man.
I didn't know the voicemails would. I thought they cut off after. Oh, they cut off at 3 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. This is just Google, dude. It's like unlimited. Google's the most amazing thing in the world. Google Photos, Google Contacts, whatever. Did we get everybody? Yeah, we got them. We got them all. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday when somebody will be $15 million richer.
Neither one of us.
Not us unless we start at 40 to 60 under. Anyway, keep the calls coming. What the hell was that?
Started messing around with my phone. I forgot it was plugged in.
678-404-2272.
Wow. Great memory.
In the hole.
Yeah.
Great putt, man. Ooh.